Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the 30th of April, 2024, a five-show month. And it turns out to be show 700.
It is. Show 700. That's exciting because that means that we are still at it and going strong. And I guess the thing I wanted to ask you is if you could remember the date, approximate, if you will, of episode number one.
July 2008.
Close. September 16th, 2008. September 6th. Did you know the No Agenda show was October of 2007?
Yeah, I know that.
And did you know that the Disciplined Investor podcast episode number was March 2007?
Yeah.
A good 6 months before No Agenda was even created.
You set the stage.
I set the low bar is what I set. Pretty cool. I looked that up this week. I wanted to see what the date. I knew, I kind of remembered some of it, but I didn't. For whatever reason, I thought No Agenda was older. That's pretty cool. This is in the days when you said to somebody, have you listened to my podcast? They're like, huh? What's the podcast? Back in 2007, that was the early days.
Yeah, I would call you a pioneer.
I think so. Especially, I consider The Disciplined Investor the longest-running independent financial podcast ever. You know, continuously.
Well, I don't think you're going to have anybody arguing with you.
Yeah. I did something. That's the guy. He's the OG of financial podcasting. I mean, Adam had the Daily Source Code, and there was, I think, Leo and a bunch of those guys had their stuff before, you know, tech stuff.
I was working with Leo in 2005.
Yeah.
They had stuff podcasts.
Yeah, they had stuff early. That was the early days.
Yeah, I'd say.
Yeah. Let's talk about what's going on in terms of our warm-up today. Yes, it is show 700. We have a big campaign. We sent out letters to people. Hopefully you received them. If you haven't, here's your opportunity to be a part of the show. Go over to the show notes page over on dhunplugged.com, episode number 700. Right on the top of the show notes, it says, donate to show 700. Still in the process, we're working on designing new shirts for the games that we play and giving you all the great opportunities to participate with us and hear what our stock picks are on a weekly basis and do what you will with them. And that's part of all the things that we do, as well as the servers, the people that help us, the process to drag this all along. Pretty much, I would say, really all the money that we get from donations plows right back into the show.
Yes, it seems so.
Let's talk about economics. All of our economic series right now are showing signs of inflation. Every single thing that has come out in the last, I don't know, few weeks in particular, are showing stronger and stronger signs of inflation. That's very worrisome. That's why the markets are a little bit pissed off.
Looks like it, yep. Yes.
There's great money in God, by the way. Did you know that? We're going to talk about the top wealthiest pastors. I dug up some stuff.
Yeah.
It would shock you.
Probably not.
No. I was, wow, that's a lot. There's new fiduciary rules related to retirement plans too. We're going to talk about markets. You know, we saw markets in the April, first of all, April's in the can, done, bad month. And a lot of reasons why. It really was predicated on the fact that we had such a great pull forward 3 months, not to mention the 2023 year. But on top of that, what I think is going on, obviously, is people's fear about, you know, now that the Fed is not necessarily on our side in a very dovish and a very financially loose condition moving forward, we're going to start worrying about all the other things that are out there, too. They become little bitty boogeymans.
Mm.
The war over here, the war over there, the numbers of inflation, the slower economic situation, higher wages, all these things become really concerning. And I think that beforehand, we were able to just dismiss them, saying that doesn't matter because the Fed is going to reduce rates, right? You know, we're going to see a lot lower rates in the future. And I think what's happened is that they got a little bit crazy with all that.
Well, they should shut up is the way I see it.
Yeah, exactly. What else do we got here? Let's see here. Earnings season. Clearly, there's some winners and losers. Tonight we saw a bunch of names, AMD and Starbucks, get kerplunked in the after hours. I mean, Starbucks was down like 12% after coming with some really ugly numbers. AMD was like, not that amazing. Amazon was actually good. Stock was up about 2% after hours, which was good because it's approaching close to, in the vicinity of somewhat all-time highs. So where we are right now is yields on bonds have been up 4.66% approximately on the 10-year. That's causing consternation. And one of the more interesting things that I found this month, European stocks end April down about 1.5%. You know, the whole region. If we put it together. First negative month since October, by the way. But if you look at the NASDAQ, Russell, small caps, the large caps, S&P 500, the Qs, they're down like 5 to 6% for the month of April. A little mini correction going on here. A little stealthy correction. There you go. All right. Let's talk about AI.
Are there any buying opportunities in that sector?
In Europe?
Yeah.
I mean, I think there is the play that Europe and emerging markets, ex-US, are definitely more favorably valued. That's a big comment right there because it's one of two things. I said favorably valued. I didn't say undervalued. The question is, are they favorably valued because that's what they should be valued comparatively? Right? You have a cotton shirt that's just, you know, a regular shirt, and then you have a mixed shirt with all sorts of designs. They're both shirts, but maybe one's valued better in terms of cheap. Maybe the other one deserves to be more expensive.
Okay, well, that didn't answer the question, but okay.
I like the region in general. I can't tell you of any particular stock that I would say is great. I like it for a diversifier in portfolios, and I like it for the fact that their value proposition as compared to U.S. stocks is much more reasonably priced. That still may not have answered your question.
No. All right. That's okay.
Moving along. So there was a interesting commentary and stories and analysis that I read this week about a derivative AI investing play. You and I talked about this.
Yes, we did.
And pretty interesting. We talked about who was building the giant factory that needed X gigahertz of daily energy?
Was that Microsoft?
Maybe it was Microsoft, yeah. Yeah, I think it was Microsoft. I think you're right. And the discussion was they had each of these was like 5 gigawatts, right? Wasn't it something like that?
A lot of power.
A lot of power. And the question is, we're going to use like, you know, miniature nuke plants or some other source, or what's going to happen here? But the point was, this one facility was going to be the equivalent energy uses on an annual basis to like 320,000 homes.
Right.
So this secondary play,
just so it could draw a flying dog.
Or fake somebody's voice, right? Right in time for the elections. So the secondary play on this, or the derivative opportunity, is in utilities.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea.
Now, utilities don't really do well during
utilities. Utilities for AI and utilities for Bitcoin mining.
Yeah.
And utilities for electric car charging.
Yeah.
I would say that that's a triple hit of pressure to be put on utilities companies. I think utilities companies, not you brought it up. I didn't even think about this before you put it on this list. Maybe a a fabulous play.
And especially if somehow we would see interest rates come down, because don't forget, utilities are oftentimes an income play. So let's say utilities yielding 5%. That utilities yielding 5% as interest rates go up, because they cannot really adjust that. When interest rates go up, that's going to impact the utility negatively, because it's just not worth as much, right? So what happens here is that right now we're in a very high level of interest, and that would mean that the utility isn't worth as much. What happens if interest rates start coming down and they're earning more money from all this? That's a doubleheader right there, too.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Some of the names we uncovered: Southern Company, Next Era, that's the old FPNL, Exelon, CMS Energy, Eaton, and Hubble. Some of those are related to utilities, some are direct utilities. So kind of, it was a bad couple of years for all these, but maybe this massive consumption is going to do something. I would strongly suggest that people do their research, check out those names. This is the kind of stuff that we provide for
this
free.
This is why people should be helping the show once in a while.
That's what it is. And if you're still shaking your head saying, yeah, I should do that one day. No. Not one day. Today is that one day. Don't put off for tomorrow what you can do today, they always say. And if you're too cheap to give, then you know what? Okay. That's what it is. But recognize that in yourself. Okay? Just admit it. Just admit it. I'm going to write down these names too. I'm going to write these utils. Because I own actually Next Era.
What is Next Era specifically?
Down here. It's the FPNL.
That's your Florida Power?
Yeah.
Why is it called Next Era?
I think that they went into more of a diversified approach and they tried to get out of just Florida. So they're, I guess, trying to, they conglomerated, if you will. So. Mm-hmm. All right, we got bird flu in our milk. The U.S. Department of Agriculture confirmed milking cows in Colorado tested positive for bird flu.
Yeah.
Following the earlier detections of infections in Texas, Kansas, Michigan, Ohio, Idaho, New Mexico, North Carolina, and South Dakota. So we got this problem. This is bad. Now, the good news is pasteurization seems to kill the virus.
Yeah, well, the bad news is, according to, and in fact, I have it in the next No Agenda newsletter, which comes out tomorrow. I'll give a preview. The bad news is what's going on here, and it's not being reported in any of these stories, except unless you go to the trades and read, I think it's called poultry something. And it's done by the Poultry Operation Council. It's a magazine. It turns out that we're feeding our cows chicken shit.
Oh.
And chickens that are probably contaminated. And it's called, there's a term for it. It's all carefully outlined in this article. And yeah, that's what we do. We're the only country that will do this. EU, it's banned. You can't feed birds to cows. You can't feed chicken shit, particularly to cows in the EU or any place else but here.
So that's probably what's causing this. You're saying part of the feed for the cattle is bird excrement? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
And the purpose of this is?
Stretch. I mean, you know, it's like why? What do you do with fluoride? You got nothing to do with this. It's industrial waste. So you talk somebody into putting in your water. This is the kind of thing we do in this country. And it's not covered in the news. That's the worst part. The newspapers, you read all these reports. They talk yak about it. Mm-hmm. They bring it up, but the poultry people know what's going on because they're selling this stuff to the cattle people.
And you're bridging together the fact that all of these milking cows have bird flu. And your supposition is that it's because they're eating the bird crap.
Birds and bird crap. Dead birds, bird crap, feathers, everything. They get it all into, they make some, it's a product that's actually sold to feedlots.
Now, I was under the impression that cows were vegetarian.
You can slip anything into their food.
Oh, I see what you're doing there. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They're always getting rid of some sort of waste product by slipping it to those poor cows. That's probably what accounts for all the flatulence everyone bitches about.
Cow depression and...
Global warming. Thank you. Feedlots.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, anyway, you have the poultry people, this has not been proven, but the poultry people know what's going on, and they say that they are feeding the cows these products.
That's terrible.
And it could be accounting for the bird flu that's showing up.
Awful.
Awful is the exact right word.
What is that called?
Awful.
For those of you that don't know what that is, look up awful as a food. Look, Google awful food. Now,
O-F-F-A-L.
Yeah, O-F-F-A-L. It's a different kind of food. Check that out. All right, we talked about good money and God. Talk about the most wealthy pastors. Do you have any names that you could think of off the top of your head that may be a wealthy pastor of some sort?
Well, I would think Robert Tilton should be on the list, but Joel Osteen for sure.
Yeah.
And I think there's a few others.
So I only took the top three because I didn't think we'd be that interested in learning all about each one of these. But Benny Hinn?
Yeah, Benny Hinn's a moneymaker, that guy.
71 years old, estimated net worth, $60
million. Yeah, I'm surprised it's that low.
Joel Osteen, 61, estimated net worth, $100 million.
Yeah, that guy, he's a businessman on top of everything else, and he's on TV. He's I think he's one of the most talented TV preachers.
Yeah, he's good. He's also a little bit different. He's not like hopping up on one leg kind of thing, you know?
No, but he does, unfortunately, he does preach a prosperity gospel, which is a little sketchy, but he does a good job of it.
The number one most highest net worth pastor, Ken Copeland.
Yeah, that surprises me.
I was surprised too. 87 years old, estimated net worth, 300 large, big one, millions.
He probably does investing, and he probably listens to our show.
That could be. He has another prosperity thing too, and he also sings, and he also does all sorts of funny things.
Guys who have to sing.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, pal, you know.
It's not like listen, I meet with my clients. I don't feel compelled to sing them a song.
The sing.
Yeah, I'm not singing. I'm not doing it. I'm not going on listen, I had a lot of meetings with clients today on Teams, you know, a video. I wasn't up there like dancing, you know, or shaking, you know, picking up.
I have to say that Joel Osteen, as far as I know, does not sing.
Correct. I mean, that's what I'm saying. He may sing, but he's not singing. He may sing along with the hymns and stuff, but he's not grabbing that mic and going at it.
Yeah.
All right, Apple headset and lots more. Earnings coming out May 2nd, which is a couple days from now on Thursday. Big slowdown in sales in China has been well telegraphed. Not much excitement about the product line or any innovation, if there is such a thing as an innovation, other than we made it a quarter inch larger and we put another camera on there.
Yeah.
That's the innovation. AI is going to be the conversation that will start to help.
Is this the Vision Pro? Is that the Apple innovation for the last decade? They haven't even put a touchscreen on a laptop, which everybody does. Yeah, everybody. Cheap laptops you can buy at Costco have a touchscreen. And they have not done anything fancy with the phone, like the Samsung folding phones. They're a fantastic product.
Well, Apple is slashing its Vision Pro production. It's canceling its 2025 model in response to plummeting demand. Analysts are cutting their sales for the Vision Pro in half. And they may decide not to even put out. They were going to put out a different model of the Vision Pro in 2025, like a cheaper deal. They may just cancel that altogether.
Yeah, that's probably smart.
So Apple's having all sorts of problems. Stock held up, was a big upgrade yesterday into earnings. You know, somebody very strategically, 3 days before earnings, puts a big upgrade, scares the crap out of the shorts. You know, the shares go up 3.5%, 4%. Biggest day in like months.
Good play.
Yeah. But it means nothing. If you're smart enough, you would have figured this out in real time and said, you know what? Something's wrong here. and gone against it. Yeah. So back to inflation. Inflation is showing little signs of letting up in March with the key barometer of the Federal Reserve watched closely showing that price pressures remain elevated. The Personal Consumption Expenditures Index, or the PCE, as I always say, the Fed's preferred measure of inflation. Well, if you exclude food and energy, it increased 2.8% from a year ago in March, the same as in February. The Commerce Department reported that it was well above the 2.7 estimate from the Dow Jones consensus. And now, consumers showed they're still spending, also despite the elevated prices. Personal spending rose 0.8% on the month, which is higher than estimate. Personal income increased 0.5% in line with the where they thought, and higher by a bit, which was 0.3 in February, so it increased a bit. The GDP report that we saw last week showed more pricing pressures, and over 100% of recent reports showed that inflation monster is still not dead.
I was watching some of the TV pundits today, market pundits, and there was a report that one of the networks put out, and I can't remember which one specifically, but it was blaming the baby boomers for what you just read.
Oh.
They claim that the baby boomers have got too much money and they don't care what the price is, and they're traveling too much and they're spending too much and they don't care. And so that's what's causing inflation. I thought that was pretty funny.
There is some, I don't know if it's the baby boomers. I would venture to say it's not the baby boomers as much due to the fact that, yes, they're probably spending and doing and going, but yet they are also in a different situation where they're probably, many of them are watching for their future retirement because they're on a, you know, I don't want to say fixed income, but they're on a fixed amount of money they have at this point, right? I would say it's some of the younger people too. They do some crazy traveling, spend money like it's, you know, like it's coming off trees. And then I think that the reality is that people are just, they are spending. And I don't think there's any question about that in there. But to blame the baby boomers, I think, is just silly. There must be another reason why they're hitting that.
I don't know.
I mean, young people are buying houses at crazy prices with elevated interest rates.
Yeah, well, that we know what happens when that goes on too long.
Sure. Now, the U.S. economic growth was much weaker than expected to start the year. The GDP that came in, while it rose at a faster pace, the Commerce Department said that the GDP came in at 1.6% annualized pace when adjusted for seasonality and inflation. So that's pretty significant. This is the June through March period. The price index for GDP, sometimes called the chain-weighted level, increased to 3.1%, which was pretty significant. Dow Jones estimated 3%. So here's the point. We have slowing GDP, prices that are staying high, not stagflation yet, but getting there. Getting worrisome.
Yeah, I would be, I'm skeptical that stagflation per se is going to revisit the economy.
The big issue we have with stagflation, which is, here's our definition from the wiki. In economics, stagflation or recession inflation is a situation in which the inflation rate is high or are increasing, which we have. The economic growth rate slows, which we have. And unemployment rate steadily high. That we do not have. We do not have the unemployment rate high. And that creates a big problem for managers of the economy. Because here's the deal. The deal is that the actions intended to lower inflation may actually cause more unemployment, and that causes big problems with regard. It's very difficult to get out of the stagnation quagmire. The good news is, though, former President Trump is thinking about, reforming, abolishing, eliminating, changing, or doing something to the Fed, he'd like to take over when he becomes president.
There you go.
Last president that I'm aware
by the way, everybody talks a big game when it comes to the Fed, and then when they're confronted with the reality of things, that this guy would say when Ron Paul was in Congress, and he ended up getting a position of one of the big committees that controls the Fed, and he made bunch of threats about this, that, and the other thing. And then when he got into the job, if anyone was going to do something, it would have been him. He didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Because you go there and you find out what's really going on. You say, I don't know what we're supposed to do here. I might as well just let them do their own thing and see what happens. We can't do anything about it.
Yeah. It's well-intentioned to try to do something. It's great brownie points for trying to get yourself into office and to look like you're doing something if things don't go right. Problem is, the last president that I recall that actually took over the Fed and decided to do things their way was Turkey's Erdogan.
That guy, Erdogan. He is, he's ruined the Turkish economy, period.
Yeah, that's it. There's nothing to say other than that. That is the simple fact.
Yeah.
And the currency. And
everybody there knows it.
And the currency's in the toilet.
Yeah.
The February S&P Case-Shiller Home Price Index was released today at 7.3% versus 6.7%, according to Briefing.com consensus. I tried to read that like the guy on the phone when I'm on hold at Schwab. The S&P. The February S&P. That's what it goes like. But the consensus was for 6.6%, 6.7%, prior was 6.6. What that means, let's discuss this for a second. This is looking at a year-over-year price of the 20-city housing price index, which was supposed to start to slow down. There are places and pockets around. I've talked to several clients this week. We were talking about their house, some of them trying to sell. One of them said they put it on the market, they don't know if they could sell it. Down here in sunny South Florida, you got to like basically lock the doors or people are going to try to buy it out from under you, even if it's not for sale. And in other areas around the country, clearly not the same situation, right? In other areas around the country, we're finding that there's a little more, it's slowing down a bit. However, when we take the 20 major cities, the housing price index increased 7.3%. Now, back in the old days, John, did your house when you were growing up or when you first bought increase 7% on a year-over-year basis? Do you remember?
No, no.
It like sat there at the same value.
When did that begin? I can't remember, but it was steady. It grew. I mean, it was going up all the time, but it was not, and even in California, but it wasn't at a 7% plus year over year rate.
That's crazy, right?
It's high.
Yeah.
It's better than interest rate. I mean, considering the leverage that goes into one of these houses, that's a big gain. Cause you're basically, I hate to use the term, you're on margin. I mean, the way the mortgages are set up is basically like a margin purchase. So you're in for 10 or 20% of the value and the whole value goes up. You're 10 or 20% goes way up.
Yeah, you're levered.
Yeah, the leveraging is astonishing, and it doesn't seem to be letting up. Yeah. And it's not going to let up if they keep with the open border policy that the Biden administration has flooding the country with extra people. That's going to put more a strain on the housing market. It's got to go up even more. This is not ending anytime soon.
How do the people that just come over the border with no money get a house?
Well, each one of them gets like $10,000 in cash on a credit card. And then if you combine it, they have no problem living two or three families in one place. Hmm. It's actually doable.
Hmm. Yeah, crazy. All right, off to some companies. Shares of Hertz Global slumped 24% yesterday, on track for their sharpest one-day percentage fall on record it was Thursday, after the company reported a wider-than-expected quarterly loss, highlighting its struggles with the EV rental business. Remember, we covered this a few months ago, right?
Yeah, that's a great story. I know. They got all jacked up about going into that. Nobody wants to rent these cars because if you've driven the EVs and you're in some, especially in a strange area, you don't know how much you're going to be driving and you don't know how to get them charged because you're not local. You don't know what's going on. And so you're kind of like, I got this car. I'm taking it here. I'm taking it there. And yikes, I don't need this aggravation. Give me a gas car.
Yeah, exactly. It seems like you don't want to, it's enough trouble owning a car that requires constant, potentially, care with electricity and refueling it.
It has to be charged all the time.
Right. And you don't use your car all the time. When you rent a car, you're banging it out all the time. You're traveling here, you're going there, you're doing all this stuff.
When you rent a car, you're using it a lot.
So the company's
not like you're,
it's crazy. The company is now slimming down their business due to weak demand, and they plan to sell 10,000 more EVs. They want to get it off. How many did they buy? Taking its total planned sale to 30,000 this year. There goes the prices on used EVs. They also said that high repair costs.
Well, used EVs does not have a high resale value, generally speaking. But these cars are probably as close to being new. I'm sure this is the deal of the century, it seems to me.
To buy these cars off of Hertz?
Yeah.
It could be. Why don't you look into it? Let's get one.
I don't want one.
Okay. Hertz said that took.
I was in the market.
That's the way you
do it. Yeah,
that's the way you do it.
I wouldn't go through the system.
I wonder if they do it through auction. They must do it through or fleet sale somehow. Why would anybody else buy them though? Probably individually.
I bought a Hertz car years and years ago when I just got out of college, and they put them on the market it was a great car. It was a Mercury Cougar. It was in good shape.
Oh, Cougar. Those are sweet looking cars back in the day.
Well, some of them, yeah.
The Cougar was a bit of a sporty car.
Yeah, Cougar, good car.
Yeah. Now, Hertz said it's going to take a $588 million hit in vehicle depreciation costs during the quarter, of which $195 million was related to EVs. So it's not just the EVs.
Well, whoever made the decision should be fired.
Yes, I would agree.
Somebody should have thought ahead a little bit. Well,
they should
have
been fired and the company should have gone out of business. That's what should have happened. They revived it. Everybody got all excited. It was part of the meme stock trade. Remember, it was up like 500% in a day.
They should have been out of business already.
Should have been. Somebody put them out of their misery. Google shares rallied last Friday after the company reported results that topped analyst estimates, showing that the profits just soared in its cloud division. Announced its first dividend, by the way, and his buyback increased $70 billion additional buyback. So that was exciting. Net income jumped 57% to $23 billion or $1.89 a share from 15. They had $15 billion worth of net income a year ago, and now they have $23
billion. Oh.
Operating income in Google's cloud business more than quadrupled to $900 million, showing that the company is finally generating substantial profits after pouring money into the best business for years to keep up with Amazon, Microsoft. So that move in prices took Google over $2 trillion to an all-time high last week. That was pretty cool. Microsoft, in its earnings report last Thursday, it said that capital expenditures jumped 79% from a year earlier to $14 billion. Company is spending much faster than its increasing revenue. Sales climbed 17% in the period. Everybody's buying NVIDIA chips. They're buying servers. They're buying space. They're buying all the things that are related to, you know, the hopeful expansion of this AI thing, which nobody still knows what it is. Exactly, but they're going to spend money on it.
Yeah.
All this reminds me of what Zuckerberg did with the metaverse. Remember, like, we're not sure what it is, but we're going to spend a lot of money.
Yeah, we're going to just sink our money into it, whatever the case. Not only that, but they seem to be taking a bath on what actually. Most of the stuff you can do with these AI systems that are out there are free.
Yeah,
they generate art. There's some of them you can pay for, but it's still cheap considering how much money it costs to run the system, the back end. They have to be taking a beating.
Well, the
everybody but NVIDIA.
Microsoft put up good numbers. I think that if all the companies that I could think of, maybe Google has something as well, but Google's going a different route. Microsoft is putting something front and center. Clippy is back. We talked about this, you know, in the form of the Copilot. And Copilot actually brings in money for the company it's a kind of a ready-to-go AI play as I see it. If it's really AI, I'm still deciding whether it's AI or not. I don't understand why Apple...
It brings us back to the story about the Amazon store.
Yeah, same thing. Is it really AI or is it just, you know, pre-programmed computer stuff? And does it matter? I don't know. Does it matter? I don't know if it matters either. So Microsoft posted a 17% increase in revenue to $61.9 billion. Just put that perspective. Alphabet, Google, who which had all-time high, income was $23 billion net income. So that was gross. That was revenue. That was increase in revenue. They had a net income or profitability of $21.9 billion. So right in the same line as Google, with a billion here or there, up 20%. Too. Now on the other hand, we had some bad news. So that was kind of good news. Things kind of held pretty well for that. Facebook really crapped the bed. Mark Zuckerberg's net worth plunged by $18 billion last week after comments from the Meta CEO on the earnings call sent the company stock plummeting. Steepest decline since October 2022. Now, while Meta actually, they did beat expectations on their revenue and profit, so that was good. They delivered
them on the game today because of that, what you just said.
Yeah.
It plummeted for no real good reason.
Well, wait a minute. Let's just talk about this for 1 second. They delivered a lighter-than-expected revenue forecast, and he told investors that, Zuckerberg did, that the company would continue to spend billions of dollars investing in areas like artificial intelligence and the metaverse, even though Meta counts on advertising for 90%, 8% of its revenue. Now, here's what happened. You can still put this on the game, but here's what happened. Investors freaked out. The reason that investors freaked out was because I think there was some Pavlovian response to a deja vu where Zuck said, I don't give a crap what we're spending. We're building this metaverse, and basically took the company down. Like the shares went down like 70%.
They're going to have to get, at some point they have to get rid of him and the metaverse.
Oh, maybe put him in the metaverse permanently and replace him with a real CEO.
Yeah, it's getting to the point where that needs to happen.
He says, we've historically seen a lot of volatility in our stock during the phase of our product playbook when we're investing in scaling a new product, but yet not monetized. We're not monetizing it. He also said, and I also expect to see multi-year investment cycle before we've fully scaled into Meta AI, business AIs, and more in the profitable services I expect as well. Translation? He's saying that...
throwing money away. That's the translation.
And he's also verbalizing out loud what everybody else is too scared to say. It's going to take a very long time to monetize whatever this AI thing actually is. A lot more money is going to go out till they can figure it out. And that also tells me that it's not an absolute. That this AI thing may not actually be what everybody kind of thinks it is.
I don't understand what AI's got to do with Facebook, personally.
Oh, it's...
unless you want to just pat it with phony things that you want to write up. It doesn't make sense. Facebook is the probably better than Google insofar as drawing in advertisers because you can target the ads to an extreme. It's got... what that has to do with AI is beyond me.
I think it's also to run some algorithms to make it stickier. But again, I think a lot of this is all puffery. It's all saying that we want to do this because it sounds really cool. And they'll try to build it and figure out how to use it later. That's the way it seems to me, at least.
Well, good luck.
Tesla stock popped nicely, even though the company reported, a miserable quarter. And the outlook was not so good. Perhaps the worst is over, maybe? Is that what investors must be thinking? Are they thinking that? There was very little in the report that was encouraging.
Well, supposedly he made some inroads in China. I guess he went over there and did the song and dance and dog and pony. I don't know what he did, but everyone's jacked up about the fact that he did well in China.
Yeah, he did well in China. He went over there. It was a secret mission. And that was pretty good. It was actually Monday this week, the best day since March 2021, after the electric car maker passed a significant milestone to roll out its advanced driver assistance technology in China. It's all we need in one of the most populous countries of the world. Cars driverless floating around, running into people.
Or there's a million jokes about Chinese driving that we could drop in here.
Yes, that's correct.
From all kinds of angles, but we'll skip it.
Old is new is the big question. Ford Motor Company posted first quarter earnings last Wednesday that beat Wall Street expectations, bolstered by strong performance in its commercial vehicle division and an increase in its hybrid vehicle sales. The company said it expects to achieve the higher end of its projected annual guidance of $10 to $12 billion in earnings before the interest and taxes. Now, what's really interesting about this, again, they shut down the EV. They're going to take some loss on there. They're going to quarter, I think, a $1.3 billion operating loss for its electric vehicle and software division. That's just the first quarter. $1.3 billion in operating losses, which is astounding to me. I don't understand that. And executives expect that the company to sustain a pre-tax loss between $5 billion for this year. Ford shares rose slightly in the slip, but oh my goodness, how crazy is that? That they're losing that kind of money. It's almost lawsuit material.
It's nuts.
It's almost like
where they got the Hertz guys on the board of directors. What's going on here?
It's really weird that they lose so much money. It's just a car, for God's sakes. I don't understand how they, except the fact that maybe they're making cars and people aren't buying them or something. It's like they're just, it's almost like there's a nuclear warhead that hit all their factories that do EVs, and that's, they have those laws. The losses couldn't be any worse. So that's pretty terrible. Some new airline regulations to be aware of, by the way. Are you aware of these?
A couple of them.
So the U.S. Transportation Department finalized new rules this week requiring upfront disclosure of airline fees and mandates that quick cash refunds for canceled flights will be there, as well as you get money for delayed baggage or inoperative services like onboard Wi-Fi, or maybe you didn't get your warm nuts and somehow you want to, you know, get back at them. Now, the rules, which were nearly 3 years in the making, require airlines and ticket agents to tell customers upfront about baggage or change in cancellation fees. And the department said consumers are expected to save, listen to this, $500+ million annually in excess airline fees.
Yeah, this is the kind of thing. This is one thing the Biden administration tries to go after.
Yeah, well, this will backfire. The refund rules apply to canceled flights by carriers regardless of the reason, including if it's because of weather. But passengers are not entitled to refunds if they're rebooked on travel or another flight. But the government will also require airlines to refund baggage fees. This is an interesting thing. You buy baggage as an extra fee. You buy a flight. You buy baggage. And you cancel your flight for some reason, you don't get back your baggage fee. You get back your flight fee, not your baggage fee. Did you know that?
I never thought about it because I only take carry-ons.
All right. Well, now the government will require airlines to refund baggage fees if baggage are not delivered.
They should.
Yeah, of course. It's whatever it is, right? The whole thing's canceled. Maybe with a little, you know, back-end surcharge. But they're going to require baggage fees to be refunded if they're not delivered within 12 hours of a domestic flight arriving or 15 to 30 hours of their international flight arrivals, as well as for services that do not work or not provided. Airlines must promptly and automatically issue refunds if flights are canceled. Now, the other thing is, let's say that's all great. Just for a moment. Let's just say, wow, that's of course. Airlines should not be screwing us. $543 million. What do you think is going to happen next, John?
You're going to jack up the baggage fee.
Or the price of the ticket?
Yeah, maybe.
So it's all going to be the same.
Yeah, that's what you do.
All going to be the same. So stupid. McDonald's issuing a warning. McDonald's missed quarterly earnings estimates of same-store sales fell short of expectations. Boycotts over the conflict in Gaza weighed on the chain's Middle East sales again. Higher prices have helped McDonald's revenue, of course, but scared away some of the low-income customers. The prices are outrageous. Outrageous.
It's like, really?
Yeah.
And not only that, but the quality is not as good as it was 10 years ago, in my opinion. In fact, I gave up on this thing. I used to do it for the No Agenda show. About once every quarter, I would have a couple of McDonald's products. That's four times a year. I figured that's not going to kill me. And at the last time I did it, I couldn't even eat any of it. And I just said, screw it. I'm not going to even do this anymore. Hmm. It's really like eating a wood.
Well, McDonald's also had a big problem with inflation, as saying that higher wages are eating into profitability. And recently,
well, in California, of course, now you got to go $20 an hour.
$20 an hour.
Funnier.
Earnings per share were $2.70, $2.72 expected. Revenue was $6.17 billion, so the increased revenue. So you can see that's where the margin was squeezing there. The earnings were less than expected. Revenue was more than expected. They made more revenue, but it didn't drop down to the bottom line. So that's a problem.
Yeah, they made more revenue. I'd like to know on a per hamburger basis they made more revenue because the prices are outrageously high. And so you sell maybe half as many and make twice as much. I mean, it's just unbelievable. You look at these hamburgers are not worth $10, $12.
No. I don't even know where. I know there's something. Somebody said something like an $18 Big Mac meal somewhere.
Yeah, that's low. Yeah.
That's absurd. It used to be like $4. You used to get a Big Mac for a dollar.
You used to be able to get a McDonald's hamburger when they started off for 15 cents.
Wow. That's like the price of a White Castle.
It used to be McDonald's 15-cent hamburger, and now it's the same burger, basically, probably not as good because of the amount of wood pulp they put in everything, literally. So it's probably the 15-cent hamburger. If you could freeze it in time and then eat it today, you'd probably get a better product.
Is that why you're saying it tastes like wood? Because there's wood in it?
Yeah, there's wood in it. Yeah, a lot of wood pulp. Hmm. It's called something else, but it's what it is. It's wood. Hmm. And they taste like wood.
It's unbelievable.
It's in the buns and it's in the burger, both. Hmm. As far as I know, I could be wrong.
Wood pulp.
But as far as I know.
And is that something the body can digest? I guess.
I think it might be even good for you. It might be good for it's like fiber. It might actually be a healthy thing to put in.
Thank you, McDonald's. We appreciate your efforts.
Yeah.
Very nice of you. I-bonds. The Treasury just released the next 6-month rate for I-bonds, 4.28%. Every 6 months, remember there was one time we talked to everybody on the show about getting, I don't know, there were 9.5%, 10% bonds?
Right.
Now they're down to 4.28. Yeah. The yen is crazy. Click that little chart there. Look at that chart.
Let me do it.
The yen went parabolic in 2021. It broke above 120. 2022.
And now it's up to almost 157, 318 on this chart.
Yep. Pretty hot.
It's supposed to be 100.
Yeah, this is, by the way, the U.S. dollar, so that means the yen is weakening. That's to be clear.
Yes.
So
it was doing okay in 20, you know, when it was like, first it was doing, we remember talking about this in the 2015 when it was bouncing around 125, and that was like ridiculous. Oh, my God. And then it kind of stabilized and then kind of popped up again and started going down. And now all of a sudden, take it off like a rocket.
Yeah. So
this means Toyotas are going to be really cheap.
Really cheap if they allow that to happen. But yeah, this is a problem. This dysfunction with currencies and the differentials around the world. You know, China may be heading for another recessionary period so far. It looks like the slowdown is pretty significant. Japan is heading for a slowdown. And you know, you can't fight the fact that if the one country on the opposite side, the USD for the U.S. government, a U.S. dollar for the U.S. treasuries, they work in tandem. You know, rates go up. And this is what's happening here, and we have the specter of higher rates for longer. It's keeping this all very elevated. It surprises no intervention above 150.
Yeah.
Very weak. Very weak. Good news for 401k people. You got a 401k out there. Listen up for a minute. The Biden administration issued a final rule on Tuesday. I'm going to do it like the Schwab guy again. The Biden administration issued a final rule on Tuesday that cracks down on the investment advice that advisors, brokers, insurance agents, and others give to retirement savers. You got to do that end thing, you know, the retirement savers. Anyway, what happened here is there's a rule that was proposed last October. It aims to ensure that investment recommendation are in the saver's best interests. And we call this like the fiduciary rules. Yeah. Now, you would think that would be always the case, right?
That's what I would think. I would hope.
No. So the problem is...
Right, trying to unload stocks on some poor, unsuspecting customer?
Now, what they do is this. You got your pension. So you got your 401k. You leave the company and you want to take it out. Somebody convinced you there's a better deal than holding it in the 401k. And what happens is that they take the 401k and they put it to things like annuities, high commission products. And... It's just probably not in the best interest of the client. What they're trying to do is make sure that the move is, there's a lot of reasons why it could be that the move is not beneficial for the client. There's a lot of reasons why the move could be beneficial. Now, what we do is we act in a fiduciary capacity for our clients in this manner. And we do a lot of rollovers pretty often. And what we do is we roll to an IRA. And one of the reasons is, the very basic reason is, first of all, people don't want to necessarily manage their own money. But second of all, what's really important is that we have a wide range of investments that are usually very inexpensive and give someone a lot better potential as opposed to what the very small universe of investments are inside of their 401k plan. So the good news is this is hopefully going to put the kibosh on the bad actors that are just looking to get the money and a big commission on it, as opposed to the person's most important asset, setting it up in a way that's in their best interest rather than in the interest of the broker or agent. So I think that's good. I mean, we always put people first, you know, clients first. I even have a checklist form that every time we do a rollover, I go through with every, you know, on each client account to make sure that we made the right move for them.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. Marijuana. Can we talk about marijuana?
Did we?
We will.
No.
Pot stocks powered higher today. It was kind of a crazy day.
About time.
Well, the DEA will soon reclassify marijuana from a Schedule One drug, which is like heroin and fentanyl, things like that, to a Schedule Three drug that can be lawfully prescribed as medication. What that also will do...
Wasn't that already the case in most states already?
It's federal now. This is federal.
Yeah, the Fed. Yeah, okay. Well, that might mean that the pot companies can get a bank account.
Correct. That's the big issue. Pot stocks were up 43% for MSOX. Tilray was up 30%. MSOS, which is the pot ETF, up 22%. MJ, another pot ETF, up 18%. Pretty good day.
Yeah. It's still kind of a dubious business, it seems.
Yeah. The close to the pin is still running for Apple right now. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that's closed. Let's see. Yeah, it's closed to new issues. It will probably be this Friday will be the closing date for the Apple closest to the pin. We'll see who wins that. What else do we have to talk about here? I think we're gonna head over. We're heading over to the game. Hang on.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind.
Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk, as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
All right, why don't you take it, sir?
Let me go there. Yes, we have a, I see that the short of Boeing is still hanging in there, where someone went long on that stock.
I went long, not good.
The shorts are looking okay. Reddit shorts up. Your CarMax short is up more.
Mm-hmm.
The Wendy's short is starting to come down, so that may not be go. That may be have to. I don't know what's going to happen there, but it's still up. So most of the stuff's up, except your Spider, S&P regional banking short, and the Boeing buy is the only other one at Ford. Your Ford is also a dog.
Yeah. I'm going to give
Ford. I thought was maybe a good idea, but meanwhile you had Geo Group. I didn't, which is a good pick, still is up 26%, and then you still own the leaderboard with both Shark Ninja up 40% and the Amazon up 42%. So you nailed that.
I'll take it.
So yeah,
I'll take it.
You got the big numbers and also a couple of reds.
I have one pick for this week. I don't know if we want to put one of the utilities on there or the XLU, which is the utility basket. But I have just one. I'm just going to go long shot down at this point below $4 per share and go with Spirit Airlines. God help.
That's an interesting pick.
I just don't think it's digging. I mean, it's got to get back to five to stay on the boards. That's a big number.
They can gin it up to get past five. That's a good pick.
Yeah, so I don't know. Let's see what happens there on that.
Well, I'm going long Meta.
Okay, so Meta, M-E-T-A.
And I'm going to go long Med, M-E-D.
Is that Medfest?
Yeah, something like it. They're a company. They've decided to they're an up and down operation that seems to try to I wouldn't use the word. Medifest. I don't like to use the word scam, but so I'm not going to use it. But they're deciding to do some sort of MLM or what do you call it? What the marketing where you do the
multi-level marketing?
Multi-level marketing on some GLP and some of these. Diet drugs. There's a guy who sent me a note on this because he follows the stock. And he says, watch what they're going to do here.
You know it's down 22% today, right?
Yeah, that's a good time to buy.
Right, okay, got it. So we're going to say multi-level marketing for diet. Okay, that's one.
Yeah.
Then we have Meta Platforms. You say
oversold. Oversold for no good reason.
Okay. Silly selling. You say that fast.
Yeah, no. The timing is going to be important on both these stocks.
Yep. And let's put down, this is for John. We're going to highlight this correctly. And then, here, let's highlight it. And then Spirit, Metafest, Meta Platforms. Okay. I think that does it. Now, anything that you'd like to say about show 700 at all?
Yes, congratulations on doing 700 shows with me.
That and likewise, I'm sure.
And it's like, I think people should appreciate the fact that we have, this is a very consistent show. We've had a lot of good information over the years. An analysis you won't get anyplace else. It's a really fabulous show. I don't get why. We probably could do some things to make more money. We just haven't decided. We decided, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
And, but I would think people would voluntarily help.
You would hope so. Well, that's the last call for that. Show 700 donations underway. Thank you so much for the people that have donated. And thank you for all of you that are about to. I'm just saying.
There you go.
Give a little push. John C., I'll talk to you and see you next week.
All right. Gotcha.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.
Horowitz & Company, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the state of Florida and conducts business in other states where it is properly registered or is excluded from registration requirements. Registration does not imply any level of skill or training.